Lord, thank you so much for being our God. Lord, we love you, and we're looking forward to all that you do in us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us, leads us. Lord, we thank you for your word with the message that David gave out Sunday. Lord, that's something we've been doing, but I've neglected to do that here in the recent history. And I'm going to start doing that again, is praying the word. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you, we, Christ in us, the hope of glory is what we're looking for. We thank you, Lord, that we can look in the mirror and see Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each one of us, perfecting us as that manifested Christ comes forth out of each one of us, Lord. 30, 60, and 100 fold. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time, because we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us and show us what you want us to get to discern and to find out as a revelation out of your word, Lord. We just praise you for all you do in us. We thank you, Lord, for your angels, your ministering angels that are around about us. And Lord, we just praise you for the teachings that you have allowed us to be a part of. And Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you ahead of time for tonight's fellowship, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time for everybody here, and that we all learn something tonight from your word. You know, Lord, all of us have a part in this body. I have a part, they have a part, everybody has a part in this body of Christ. One can't work without the other. If we have one part missing, we're lacking. And Lord, we thank you that everybody here can contribute and everybody can learn from each other. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Okay. I see Don Laughlin's head, it looks like. Sure does. Is that you, Don? Donan. I see your head. Everybody can see your head. Amen, brother. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? He must not have his speakers hooked up or something. You hear me, Don? Can you see me, Don? No, you can't. All right, prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Dave. Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Somebody text Don and tell him to get his eyeballs on the mic on the camera. He's blinded me here. Hey, Don.
Good evening, Michael.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm fine. Blessed.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, you are.
Amen. So are you? Yeah.
Yeah. The way you spell your name now, Donan.
Hey, I didn't do that.
You didn't?
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was me that.
How's that?
On my stuff.
On your stuff?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Missy. What? He's waving at Obadiah, I guess.
Yes, I'm just waving to Obi.
All right, anybody got a prayer request? We had a good talk with... I got a testimony. We had a good talk with Marlon and Gano today, and or just a little bit ago, and seems to be doing quite well. And he has his ups and downs, but he's going forward. You know, he's believing, and we are too. And I just believe God's going to do a mighty quick miracle there. Thank you, Lord. So let's y'all would just pray with me, Lord. I just lift up Marlon to you. And I thank you, Lord. We've already prayed a prayer of faith for him. And I thank you, Lord, for delivering him of all of these things that they have found on him, the cancer, whatever else, Lord. And I thank you that you are doing mighty work and show him the glory of God through his body. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he is completely healed. Anything that the bad report that comes out is not a bad report, because we don't believe. Well, let me mute you, Don. We don't believe in what the doctors say. We believe what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that we're not under the curse. Marlon's not under the curse. And he is healed by the stripes of Jesus of all of those things. And Father, we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for giving him supernatural energy. And not only that, supernatural appetite, too, to gain weight in a mighty way. And we thank you, Lord, that he's on the road to recovery. In fact, he's already been recovered. He just got to confess it and believe it. We all confess it and believe it with him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I could use some prayer for healing. I've been meaning, I should have asked for it about a week ago, but hey, I was like, well, let me, I felt my back. I don't know. I think I received prayer years ago for it, but to be honest, I didn't really believe, you know, that I was healed. So I'm ready to stretch my faith a bit here. You know, I mean, my back, I mean, years ago, I remember lifting improperly at work. I had a big, huge box full of cans of pizza sauce at work, and they say you're not supposed to lift, twist your body without your legs, and that's exactly what I did, and it did not feel great at all. So I remember injured it pretty nice, and it's first when I kind of came in contact with the teachings, you know, about the real good news, and you know, I remember receiving prayer for it, but I didn't even think I was healed. I mean, I didn't believe. So, I mean, I think this past week, and I thought I tweaked it or something, and I was just, I was praying against it and all that. So, and even my arm right here, you know, I remember it's just recently I felt some pain in that area. So, I, you know, pray for that as well.
Let me tell you a little something first before I do. Certain people in the kingdom of God, you know, in healing, some ministers have a tendency to heal more of one thing than another. One of the things that I noticed right on in my ministry has been when I pray for people with back problems, they get healed. They ain't no doubt about it. So as long as they believe, you know.
Amen. Amen.
And that's just one of them. But I've always had real good success praying for people with back problems. It doesn't make any difference what it is either. And they get healed. So we're going to pray for you. Amen. And everybody here is going to believe, and you're going to be healed, brother.
Amen.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command Joe's back to line up with the Word of God. I command the pain to go. I command every vertebrae, every pinched nerve, everything in that thing is out of place, to be in place. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And I command that back to be totally healed and everything associated with it to be totally healed. And I command that arm to be healed too. In the name of Jesus, all the pain to go, every bit of pain in his body go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to get up and do the twist. Because that's what's good. You're going to do it. You're going to know that it's gone, okay? Get up and go. There you go.
Oh, there we go. Whew.
Where's the pain at?
No pain.
Okay. Praise God. You're here.
I believe it. I do believe it. Amen.
Well, you don't believe it. You know it.
Amen. That's right.
Praise God.
Well, that too. Amen.
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 Okay. Anyone else?
Amen.
Is that all, Joe?
I think there was something else, but I'll probably ask later. So I'll move on to the next person.
Well, look, now, you know what's going to happen. And it's happened many times. Now, I'll give you this disclaimer. That demon's going to go out there, and he's going to do a wheelie, and he's going to come right back, and he's going to say, you didn't get healed.
You didn't get healed, Joe.
And all you got to do is rebuke that demon and say, no, I'm healed at the cross.
Amen.
God healed me, and I ain't got to worry about you. You better just psych your stuff up and get on out.
Amen. That's all you got to do,
and he'll leave you alone.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Matt.
If I could give a testimony.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's about that back pain. I injured my back about 4 years ago. And, my vertebrae did, one of these numbers where it wasn't supposed to. And so, I went through therapy and stuff like that. My back would always hurt, especially when I worked a lot. And it wouldn't hurt if I was doing normal daily things, but if I was like really out there working hard, it's like I could hardly move that night, with pain. And then we moved down here, and one day we asked Michael for prayer, agreement that this pain will go, period. I won't have any. And ever since we got prayer, I was completely healed. And I haven't had any pain in that area ever. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That was one of the first things that God healed me of was the back pain. So, some woman. I'm telling you, it was a woman that prayed for me. Yeah, she did. And it was at Happy Caldwell's church. Listening to Jesse Duplantis, and met her outside the door, and I was a Baptist at the time, and she said, "You want me to pray for your back?" I said, "Yeah." She did, and the pain went. And I said, "Well, praise God, thank you, Jesus." I knew God healed. Yeah. Anyway, that and was from that time on, I could pray for somebody with back problems and they'd get healed. All right. Anybody else? Missy. Thank you, Matt.
I could just use some prayer about this whole issue with my phone and the sorts, and just to have a peace of mind about it and just rest and just, it's just something that's annoying, and I want to get it taken care of, and I want to just have peace about it and
okay.
Know that the Lord's going to show me what I need to do.
Okay.
It's just been on my mind, and it's almost like an attack of the enemy and to my mind, and I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just
yeah. All right, let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, we lift up Misty to you. You know what she's been going through and what's been happening. And I come against these attacks in the name of Jesus. I command them to stop right now in Jesus' name. And I command any tormenting demons that are lingering around to go in the name of Jesus. I command her mind to be free of any condemnation in the name of Jesus. I command the enemy that's been trying to sneak in every door it can.
Amen.
To get it, Missy. I command those doors to be shut. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, for delivering her from all of these attacks. In the name of Jesus, I command faction to go. I command all of those tormenting spirits to leave her right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, for peace, rest, and joy in the amongst her heart. Place it, Lord, in her heart. Give her the joy of the Lord, Lord, to know that she doesn't have to worry about that mess anymore. And that you're going to be her phone cleaner, her computer cleaner, a computer antivirus. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels now are round about her and delivering her from any more attacks of this nature in the name of Jesus. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I do too, Missy.
Amen.
Everybody here believe it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Who is that down there in Nebraska? Hey, Gano. Glory be to God. How y'all doing? Well, it's good to see you again. It's been a long time. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? We just got through praying for y'all. Yes, I know you received it. Amen. Missy's hollering at you. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Just kind of an update. I've been praying every morning and every night for my crews at work, of course. And our crew at night is obviously working, from 11 to 6 in the morning, and then I get there and I work in the daytime. And so a week ago, I realized that I was praying for and blessing my crew that was working in the daytime and seeing benefits through that, but realizing that the crew that was working at the night was, there was just a constant attack on them all the time. And so things were going bad. So I realized the Lord was showing me, of course, to start blessing that work at night and that crew at night. So I started doing that and as well. And again, seeing people's attitudes and everything just changing every day you come in and you notice that. But this morning I came in and the superintendent on the night crew, I asked him how everything went, and he said, nothing went right. It all fell apart. Everything, they didn't get anything done that they were supposed to get done, etc. And so I started thinking about it. I said, I wonder what's going on here. I've been blessing that crew last night. What's going on? But then as I continued on, and we go through kind of a little meeting and walk around the floor and for as much as had gone wrong and fallen apart in the schedule and everything, everybody was joking, and it was unusual that because everybody usually will be complaining about it and crying about, you know, somebody not doing their job and this and that and whatever. But it was kind of a reinforcement of the fact that God is working on hearts and attitudes and spirit and that sort of thing. And so what I realized then after that, the reason for the problems was that we are working with a retail facility. And this retail facility, it's necessary that their night crew that does stocking of shelves and this and that, they have their whole program that they do in order to get the store ready for store hours and business the next day. And some of the things that are required to happen is that we are going through this store, and we're literally the store has to remove all of the product on their shelves in a particular area, Then we have, there's another crew that comes in and dismantles all of these shelving units. And then we go in and we tear up the floor, or that we demolish all the tile floor underneath it. We surface that floor, and then we put flooring down back under that. They then reposition their shelving units on it. And then the store puts all their product back on the shelf. So that all has to happen in one night, or basically two nights. And so what was happening is that the store manpower, who the crews for the store, who are the people that we're working for, are not getting their job done in time. And it's delaying us and preventing us from getting our schedule done. So it's kind of one of those things that you can't go to the boss and say, hey, you're not pulling your weight around here. So you have to, yeah. So I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard spot. You kind of have to take what you're being given. But again, my job is to get the job done, and I'm not necessarily, I don't have to accept the excuse or that bad report as the end result. I'm responsible to find a solution for it and get around it and make it work. So I realized that my problem was I was blessing my crews, was not blessing the store's crew. So that's kind of the testimony and prayer request for the night, I guess, for me, just to that I'm going to start doing that now and add that to the list, so to speak. So that's kind of
you're seeing great results, aren't you?
I'm seeing attitudes change. I mean, it's not major. If you're not looking for it, you're probably not going to notice it, because people have good days and bad days and this and that. But yes, I'm seeing attitudes are just, I'm praying for a spirit of cooperation between all the contractors. I'm blessing them with a spirit of patience and a spirit of unity and cooperation between everybody, and a spirit of calmness. And it's just it's changing. It's some of the things I'm noticing is that people that are, and I'm going to just say that, you know, certain people, you can see them and they just are always angry. Now, they might be having a good day and they're congenial in their anger, but you can tell that if you push one button in the wrong way, they're always angry, and you know, they're in that sort of thing. And the funny thing about it is a couple of these people are always, they're always in that constant anger mode, and the way they communicate to each other is in that in-your-face, you know, angry type of mode, but you can tell behind it they're just kidding. They're playing with each other. And that's something that I've just noticed, that it's just like they're having a good time. I don't know. I'm just seeing changes in people's spirit. But so it's just kind of interesting. I'm just watching the whole thing transpires, kind of fun.
Well, I'd like for you to keep us updated on that, because I can tell you, I've seen it work in places too. Not from my perspective, but from other people's doing the same thing you're doing, and changing the whole attitude of the whole of their shift or whatever they're praying for. And now we're experiencing with you. I've got somebody in mind right now that I'm going to tell this testimony to, and see what happens, because it's awesome to see God do that in the workplace.
Amen.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Can I pray for him now?
Yes, sir.
Father, we thank you for the blessings that you are showing us, Lord, in your word, and just thankful and grateful for the authority that you've given us, the authority you've given us to change things. Whatsoever is spoken on earth is bound in heaven, Lord. You said that just to pray your word over these people, over those around us, and Lord, you've told us that we are the salt of the earth. And Lord, just in these last few years, I know you're teaching me to not just be willing to passively sit by and watch things happen, but just to be involved, just to push back the darkness, and just to force my way through the process, and just to force your word in. So Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the job that you've given me to do. You've taught me many things related to your kingdom just in this type of work. So I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we are all under authority. Wherever we find ourselves, whether we're the boss, there's always a boss over us. We always are under authority, and that authority, Lord, that you've given us is our protection, our provision. That's where you provide all through us. Through you have a authority structure over us that not only protects, but you provide through that, through the angels, through your word, through the promises that we believe, all under your authority. And we thank you for it. We thank you that you are our Lord, our Savior. We can confidently put our trust in you, in the word that you spoken to us. Lord, I just bless not only my day crew tomorrow, but this night crew that they're getting ready to start tonight. I just pray and bless them, Lord, with a spirit of calmness, a spirit of confidence that they're going to get their task done, and just to cooperate with all those around them. Just to be aware of their surroundings. If there's something that's not being done that they need, to go directly to those people and discuss it, and just to allow that spirit of community, of unity, to permeate the atmosphere in there today, tonight, Lord. I thank you for that. I just bless the electricians that are working there. I bless the plumbers that are, and the concrete cutting people that are doing their work, Lord, that you would just ensure a safe environment tonight, that there should be no problems, but just a real environment of unity and calmness and cooperation. I thank you that. Thank you for that spirit, Lord. I also bless the manager of the night crew for the company that we're working for, Lord, that you would bless their employees as well with the same spirit of unity and strength and cooperation, and just a working together with the people that are doing the renovation, as well as the people that are stocking the store for business the next day. So both aspects are important. Both aspects are necessary, and just give each and every one there just a spirit of seeing the others as important, and the others' needs and the others' jobs as just as important as theirs. So I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the lessons that you're teaching me and teaching us in this thing. And so, Lord, we just reach up and we touch you. We thank you for your blessing. Just fill us with the Holy Spirit tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we believe with Pat that we're going to see a major change there in his company and the company he's working with, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray for their company? Or do you still want to stay in that hellhole yet? I'm just saying now. I'll tell you what, I'm amazed that God acted so quickly for Pat. I don't know why I am, but I am. It's good. It's a good thing. All right. Anyone else got a testimony or prayer request or would like to pray? Praise report. Yeah, Jean.
Yeah. Someone else on there.
No, I said go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I saw just the phone and I didn't know someone else was going to talk. Well, I got a small praise report, but yet it's a large one because it's about my tooth. And if you have a toothache, it can be a large pain. But anyhow, a week ago Friday, I was eating breakfast and a great big filling came out of my tooth, and it was a big filling. It wasn't just a little one. It was a big one. And I thought, oh, but I asked the Lord not to fix it or just don't let any pain come from it and just fix that tooth however he wants to do it. And I just want to praise him, Lord, because when it came out, I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, for taking my filling out. But I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that my tooth is healed and it has not hurt and it won't hurt. Because he's healed it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for replacing that tooth with one with porcelain. And we just praise you for it, Father. Matter of fact, we thank you, Lord, for doing all our teeth and making them all right. And like they were when we had our second set. First set was our baby teeth. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, hi. I've been listening to David's message a few times from Sunday night. And I was thinking about the folks I've been praying for over the years. Of course, my siblings, brothers and sisters. And then I started thinking about one of my brothers. He's not legally adopted, but we tried to while we were in Nepal. The history is that he was with his, in their home out of the village, kind of a remote village in Nepal, and lightning struck their home, and killed both the father and mother. The mother was pregnant, so it killed the baby too. And then he, my brother, ended up on top of a water buffalo trying to get it out, but he lost consciousness because of the smoke. So his uncle came in and got him out, but in the process of burning log, that timber landed on his leg. Anyway, he didn't survive, eventually died from infection from his wounds. But so anyway, I think it was the Lord gave me a dream that just made me start thinking about my brother and his family there in Nepal, and then that whole village. And we were just there a couple years ago, and we took a lot of photographs between all of our cameras and then shared our pictures. So I have some really nice pictures of a lot of folks in that town, that village. But so this morning I just started praying for his relatives, aunts, uncles, and cousins and whatnot. And then I thought, well, I just need, just pray big, pray for the whole village. So, and by the way, they're into Hinduism and I think some animism as well, just like most of the Tamang people are. But anyway, I just started praying for these folks and like to see. I guess it wouldn't be a revival; it would be a vival sweeping through the village. what do you call it when there was nothing to begin with? It wouldn't be revival, would it?
Yeah,
vival. That's got to be a word. Okay, we coined a phrase. So anyway, but you know, it's easy to forget people. Just they kind of slip through the cracks in our minds, and I just feel like the Lord's putting these folks on my heart to pray for them. It was hard for me to pray for them because I was thinking, okay, if I'm going to pray for them, well, I need to pray for the entire country of Nepal. And I thought, okay, am I going to take on all the principalities and powers that control the place now? And, you know, it's like, you know, because you don't want to take on more authority than the Lord, than you're at the, you know, whatever point, but just want to be led by the Lord on that. So anyway, I had a dream years ago about praying for people to come into the bride. It was really important to pray in tongues. So I did spend a little bit of time praying in tongues. Anyway, I mean, regarding this village. So, and of course, we pray for different countries. You know, we pray for the United States and South Africa and places that are close to home for a lot of us. So, Michael, do you mind if I just pray for this village right now?
No, you go right ahead, and we'll believe with you, brother.
Okay, and also for the country, Lord, I just pray for this village that you know the history there and the all the stuff that's been going on. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have a place in your heart for these folks there. I pray that a huge thing sweep through that town after the terrible earthquake that hit there in that country years ago. And they're trying to rebuild. I just pray that you will cause them not just to build structures, but also that your body would begin to be built there and be expanded there. And that your true temple will rise up in that area as well. And also pray for my brother's relatives there, especially that you will just that he will be an incredible influence once you really get a hold of his heart or whatever your timing is, Lord. I just thank you for that. And I also want to pray for the whole country of Nepal. You know, all the stuff that's the tremendous dynamic changes that have been going on and everything that I believe you're behind all these things. I pray you continue to soften folks up to the point that they'll be ready for your gospel when it sweeps through. I just pray that it will sweep through, Lord, and it will be an amazing testimony and a bringing down of the principalities and powers that have held that place for many, probably millenniums. So I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you. Revival's going to be there, and people are going to get saved at that village. In Jesus' name. Is your brother saved?
I don't know who all is going to listen to the call.
Just brothers and sisters in Christ.
Okay, born again, I'd say no.
Okay.
Well, you can be part of a denomination but that just doesn't cut the mustard.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta bear fruit for Jesus Christ, don't you? 3,600
folks. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So if he's listening, love you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Is that it, Malcolm?
There's one other person I'd like to pray for, a guy down in Spokane that we met and was baptized. Lord, I just want to bring this gentleman to you, Lord. Haven't been able to reach him yet. I just pray that you will, you did there last week, the weekend, that you will continue on, and you said you're the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I pray that he be part of that 1/4 that bears fruit and it goes on past the 30 and percent. I'd like to pray for as much percentage as he can get, Lord, not percentage, but 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We hook our faith up with Malcolm. We're going to see it done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Morning, everybody. I need some prayer for wisdom. My company I'm working for is quite big, and it's part of a state-owned company. And we do experience the moment in time some serious cash flow problems because of all the corruption and all this. So we're going to downsize the company and retrench some people. So I just need some wisdom to make some decisions in the next couple of weeks, please.
Okay. Well, Father, you hear Joe's request, and we believe with him, Lord, that you're going to give him wisdom. Not only that, you're going to give him discernment. And, Lord, we just look for a miracle here in Joe's company, that they would find a way to stay. We find a way, Lord, that you would provide a way for him to keep up above, Lord, and we thank you for that. Keep it open. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Unless you have something else designed for Joe and Nora. Lord, if you got something else designed for them, then your will be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just believe before it's over, Joe, that you and Nora's going to be here with us. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I can. I've been saying that for a while, and I believe it.
It's getting, sorry, not to talk about politics again, but it's getting worse every day with all the corruption. Yep. Bad stuff going on.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your intervening power in this corruption in this country. I ask for your safety upon all of your chosen in that country in Jesus' name. And Lord, those that aren't chosen, that are called, that they haven't stepped into that reality that they're in, they're still in that old apostate church, that you'd wake them up, Lord, that you'd shake them. It looks like what you're doing now, and that they would believe the truth of the gospel. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is Reinhardt Bonnke still there in that country? You don't know? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Did everybody listen to the broadcast Sunday? Yeah, it's a good one. I hadn't listened to it myself, but I'm going to. I heard a lot about it. I just hadn't had time to. It's all on prayer. I think it's what he told me. It's all on prayer and about prayer and how we should be praying the word. We should be praying the word. I'm going to listen to it. It'll probably be tomorrow before I get to. But I think I used to pray the word all the time, but I kind of laxed out here in the last little bit, and I'm going to get back to doing that again. It's powerful when you do that. Okay, anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray about something? What y'all want to talk about tonight? Anybody got something in mind? Yep, Pat.
Michael, I just got a question for Malcolm. He mentioned something that's got my mind, thinking here, and that is that he's praying for Nepal, and I think, Malcolm, you mentioned something about taking on too much authority or something like praying against the principalities and powers of Nepal, that we would be taking on too much authority. I think that's kind of what you were it was sounding like or whatever. I was just wondering if you could explain that. I went to, you know, I was thinking about that scripture. It said when Jesus was saying, "Behold, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven." He said, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." And then he says, "Nevertheless, in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And I know that the Lord showed me that in that particular verse, he's teaching that the authority that I've given you is not based upon any particular merit or anything that like that, that, you know, or our ability or our maturity or anything like that. It's based on the fact that we were born, we were removed from this authority structure completely and placed up under another authority structure, kind of like the United Nations, diplomats from the United Nations are dwelling in this country with sort of a diplomatic immunity and that sort of thing. So I guess I was trying to think of what were you, when you said that, were you thinking, what were you thinking of something else that I guess I'm not thinking of or whatever?
I know some people. Well, first of all, you've probably heard of Henry Ruber. I went to one of his meetings, or I guess I've been to a lot of them, but well, not as many as I'd like. But anyway, but he talks about going out and doing prayer walking, and there are situations where he and I've heard of other people who are doing this kind of thing where they go out to a Canaanite altar, for instance, and they take on the principality or whatever that is somehow attached to that altar, and it's a huge showdown. I mean, it's absolutely huge. I've had experiences in Nepal it was very clear there's a territorial presence. I was a little kid at probably 10 years old. My brother and I, my dad was at a clinic out of this remote village of Panoti. It was not real remote, but it's part of the seven cities and or towns of that valley. My dad was working at a hospital there. So anyway, my brother and I took off and to kind of explore around the town. We saw this temple courtyard. We walked in. We'd never been there before. And then we went into this where the temple was, looked in there, and here was this horrendous idol there. I'm telling this for a reason. We just looked in there. There was not a soul around. We saw this idol, and very kind of a scary thing, image. And all of a sudden, we were both jumped by demons, and we both knew we had to get out of the village. So we ran for all we were worth out, found a hanging bridge, and ran across the bridge. Once we got the bridge, then we thought, okay, we're safe. I don't know why our minds were thinking that, but anyway, I've been in a number of temples in Nepal. I've been in Buddhist monasteries, and there's a very evil presence in those places. And I've since concluded you just don't go in there as a Christian unless the Lord's telling you, you know, the Lord is telling you to do that. Also on this last trip, I was baptized there, and I wanted to go back in 2000, what was it, 16, to see where I was baptized. It was a huge thing for me, kind of emotional, and in the many years since then, I guess it was, what, 50 years? No, about 45. The river had completely rerouted, and it was a huge pile of sand right there and gravel. And so I stood on top of approximately where I was baptized. And there was a picture that somebody took at the time out way out in the water. So you could see, you know, the backdrop of me with a person baptizing me who just died, I guess, a couple of days ago. And then the backdrop of rock, great big cliff type thing. So you can, from that, I could tell, I'm kind of getting too much detail here, but anyway, as I was leaving the area and I walked past this, you know, where two big rivers come together in Nepal, it's like a super holy place, they consider it. And I went past this pretty big temple thing with idols and stuff there. And I thought, of all the travesty, here this is a holy place because I was baptized there, and here's this crud. And I almost took it on myself to just, you know, spiritually take on those, you know, whatever those principles, you know, the powers that were there and just totally decimate them because I was so angry. But I thought, I don't think this is the right time for me to do that. Maybe I felt that because of the way where I was at with the Lord at the time. I've heard Henry Groover talk about people trying to take on too much and they get in huge trouble when you're out doing spiritual warfare like that. I've heard of people that went beyond their authority and tried to take on principalities that they weren't really, for whatever reason, that wasn't the authority that the Lord had given them or something. And they were the demons just make mincemeat out of them. They can't get into any victory. They're just harangued. And so I think, you know, if you're going to take on especially something, a principality of that magnitude, like, for instance, Tibet or Nepal or those places where these principalities have held that ground for, it sounds like several, many, many centuries, if not thousands of years. I think there's a time and place, and I know the Lord's softening that whole area up with, you know, the way the communists came into Tibet, and they've really not decimated Tibetan Buddhism, but it's just really lost its power. Certainly certainly the civil power over the people. People were almost slaves somehow. It was pretty bad before the communists came in. And of course it didn't get any better with them, but what do you think, Michael? I mean, you've had a lot of experience with this. But then there's that mute button.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm really concerned about that actually now, because I know some folks that I'm concerned about, and I don't know what's happening with them, but I just I don't know if it's possible or you know, it seems that it's possible to go beyond your authority and get in trouble.
Here's the deal. If you've got doors that are open to the demonic realm, you ain't got no business out there pulling down strongholds and principalities. If you're walking the walk and God has instructed you to go to a city, a town, or a country, then of course you can go do that. You can bring them down too. But you better be right. You better be prayed up. You better be, you know, all of those. You have to have every door closed and not allow the enemy to look at the great intercessors back from years ago. And they would intercede for cities for days, if not weeks, before the evangelists came there. I'm talking about the successful evangelists. And they would weep, they would travail, they would fight the battles of the principalities and the strongholds that were over those cities. And they would have great results because of it. But they were walking a walk that a lot of people don't want to walk. And Pat and Malcolm too, if Malcolm's right, if you don't think that you're supposed to do that, you better stay out of that realm because you can get hurt. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody. In fact, you know, I've always been one that would reach out and, you know, cast them down as much as possible. I've never, Lord hasn't asked me to. I've never gone to a city and interceded for a city. I've never gone, I've interceded in certain ways for this country in the government. There is the, if you want to know what's over this country, it's a patriotic spirit that's running this country in a lot, and that and a divisive spirit. But anyway, getting back to what Malcolm was talking about, he's right in the sense that if you're not called to do that, it's time to, you know, it's not really, I wouldn't think to go out there and do it, or you can get hurt.
I have, yeah, Pat, I have very strong feelings of, I mean, I feel like our family was made mincemeat and out of demonic realm there. We weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't know anything about it. And I've seen a lot of stuff there. And any Christian who tries stuff is going to be hit with whatever in that country. But I have plenty of angst against the demonic realm there. The caste system is so incredibly destructive. I know so many people personally that their lives are just so screwed up because of the caste system. So I have, you know, emotionally, I have plenty of reason to be angry and tear down a temple or, you know, just make mincemeat. So I mean that part is there. It's just I've had a lot of experience where, you know, it's not like I'm saying I'm afraid of them. It's just I want to be careful not to mock dignitaries or whatever. I think, was it Peter talking about that? I forget, or maybe Jude. So I just want to play by the rules. So, and no, I don't want to be cowering because I'm not walking with the Lord. If I don't feel like I'm quite up to par or whatever, I want to be walking by faith and, you know, be up to speed that way all the time. I'm not saying that I have been. I just, you know.
Well, you know, Malcolm, it's something that I believe the Lord would place in somebody's heart to do that. He would have people in mind to do that. I'm not saying, Pat, that you can't do it. I'm just saying you got to be very careful. But what you
Pat, let me just explain. There's a bit of history to all this. My dad was born in China. He, at the age of, I think it was 6 or 7 or 8, somewhere in there, he heard these missionaries come back from Tibet. They told, and they snuck in there somehow. I don't know how they got in because it was like super not allowed for foreigners to go into Tibet during those years. This is before the communists took over. And my dad's dream his whole life was to get into Tibet somehow. Well, he was taking theology in college and realized he'd never get into Tibet with theology. So he decided to take medicine and thought maybe he could go under that guise, you know, just go in as a doctor. And well, by that time, China had taken over to Tibet, and nobody, especially an American, was going to go in there during the Cold War, Vietnam going on and everything. So, we ended up going to Nepal eventually. Somehow the Lord worked that out. But my dad's heart was always to make inroads into Tibet. I think my dad got one of the first Tibetan Bibles that were ever printed. We've read a number of books of people and talked to people that have been in there. And I'm currently in contact with somebody who's working in Tibet. So there's a lot of stuff on my heart about that part of the world. But, you know, Tibetan Buddhism is one of the most terrible Buddhisms, you know, or religions there are. I mean, it's just incredibly demonic. So if the Dalai Lama is listening, I just said it. So it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Well, tell us a little bit about Buddhism. Is that an animistic religion?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not an authority on that. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening that would be very well versed on all that. But Tibetan, let me just recount some things that have happened in at the Patala, which is there in Lhasa. This is before the communists came in. This guy writing this book somehow was involved in kind of something subversive. He was trying to. There's a lot of corruption going on. With the Dalai Lama and the there was an oracle. An oracle is like somebody who like gets possessed in those circles, and then he'll say all these prophecies and proclamations and all kinds of stuff. But when this guy was in the middle of, he was trying to escape. He was trying to do something. I don't remember the details, but he stood there in the area where the oracle had come because they were trying to address some issues, these issues actually. And this oracle started, if I remember the story right, he almost looked like a different person after he became possessed. And then he started looking around the room, and everywhere he looked in that patala with marble or whatever was on the floor, heavy stones, that whole area shook like a tremendous earthquake. And as his gaze went past this guy who was standing behind a pillar listening to all this, he realized he wasn't supposed to be there because his life was in danger. As his gaze went past the pillar where he was, the whole ground underneath him shook. All this marble. And there's tremendous display of physical power, all kinds of power that was going on there in Tibet. And what this guy, this oracle is basically talking about, this guy who was hiding behind the pillar, even though he didn't, I guess the Lord didn't allow him to actually send people after him right then. So anyway, later this guy was involved and he became a Christian after he escaped out of the, but yeah, some of those stories, you read some of those stories, it's just wild. Several times I've been to Tangwache, which is I think the third highest monastery. It's Lhasa's number one. There's another one that's number two, and then Tangwache, I understand, is number three. At least it was back in the 60s. And so we met with the Lama there, and he'd been educated, and he could speak English. But man, talk about talking in circles! I mean, it was just I don't know if you've studied Buddhism at all, but it's just really. But the hold that religion has on people is just, from what I understand, comparing it to the other Buddhisms like Thai Buddhism, Japanese Buddhism, and other, Buddhism in China, it's different.
Okay. So,
that's all I can really say, because I don't really know the others real well.
Yeah, just a bunch of spirits.
Yeah, they believe in hell and all that stuff. And the whole circle of life, reincarnation, and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we had somebody who was a Buddhist who worked in our home, and he was a cook in our kitchen. And we were at about 5,000 feet, about the same latitude as Florida. So we had a fairly humid conditions, especially during monsoon in the summer. So we had all these flies, and at that time people didn't bury their waste, so they would just go out during the night, and the next day the flies would be all over it, and then the next thing you know they're in your house, so you know where that's going. But anyway, we had flies all over our kitchen, and because he was a Buddhist and believed that these flies could be reincarnated relatives or ancestors, he didn't want to kill them or refused to kill them. So that ended up being our job, poor guy. I don't know how he felt about us killing all of his relatives right in front of him, but... Oh, my goodness. Reincarnation is something else.
Okay. All right, so goes the Buddha. You know, Buddha's not going to be around for a while. In a while. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead. Tell me, what were you going to say there? Go ahead first, Michael. Buddha's not going to be around for a while, was it?
Well, in a little bit, about 7 years, he ain't going to be around.
Amen.
He's going, yeah, he's going to be down there.
Jesus is coming back, and he's going to take care of him, I think.
Fine, boy. He's going to be a roast Buddha.
Amen. No, I just wanted to say, Malcolm, I felt kind of led to, you know, no, I mean, I'm very encouraged about the times that are getting ready to come. You know, like I've heard you say, Michael, and others at times, it's just the, you know, as I was at the last local there, pot blessing, and the Lord, wow, he showed up in a major way at that little meeting there as we were worshiping the Lord. And you guys remember, you few here, I see who were there, Judy and Sue and Don, and you, Michael, I remember when like the rain started coming down. Because, I mean, David said before that, you know, every time we mention the word revival or rain, oh, my goodness. And, I mean, I've personally never seen something like that. Looked like a hurricane came straight through that little area of Tennessee, and the rain came, and it just started flowing like crazy. Matt, I remember you were by the door. The door swung wide open. And after the rain was over, it was sunny, and you didn't see any limbs or anything outside. I thought – and, I mean, what at that time hit me, I thought – That looks like a good picture. I wonder what it was like in the spirit realm during that time. And that's a good picture of the latter rain. You know, when it pours, you know, in the spirit. So think about that. You know, it's going to be a worldwide revival. I mean, you know, from what I remember in the book of Acts, it was only, what, 120 people up in the upper room? And that, you know, it said the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind. And that was pretty mighty for 120 people. But we're coming to something that's going to be around the world. That's times like, that's like millions upon like, you know, billions more people. So be encouraged, Malcolm, that, you know, maybe it's up to you to pray, Lord, move somebody in that area of Nepal. You know, God, work on somebody, because he is, you know, he's working on people there. You know, like you said, communism came in there. I kind of understand that area a little bit. I know there's a lot of, yeah, there's some strongholds and there's some powerful demons in that area, but be encouraged. God is working. You know, just maybe it's up to you. You know, maybe this is, you know, I mean, just something to encourage you with. Pray that God will lift somebody up in that area. Pray that God, you know, he is working on people in that area. Maybe it's a Buddhist who has yet to be saved. Maybe it's somebody who came out of, you know, Tibetan Buddhism. But just, be, you know, maybe just pray, hey, you know, you're somebody from the outside. You have somewhat of an idea what's going on there, but pray God would lift up somebody, raise up somebody in that area for when the time comes, you know, and they will receive the anointing and they can take on those things. Cause they're no match, you know, when Jesus really comes, you know, and his man child, and when it all goes down, those demons won't stand a chance, you know? And I mean, I do believe that, you know, when Jesus came around, yeah, it's, you know, back during the time we believe in the tribulation, the first 3.5 years will be when Christ was here, you know, just like that. And he said, we'll do greater works. So, I mean, there's really nothing to fear about those demons, because when the right person comes, the one that God has prepared, you know, he'll make mincemeat of those demons. But it, you know, it won't be him. It'll be God through that individual. Just like, and I know of Henry Gruber. I've heard a lot of his messages, and just, you know, or even pray there'd be another Henry Gruber come in that area. You know, someone from that area that God has prepared, that God is preparing, that he's doing something in, you know, for when the time comes, you know, and it'll come that, you know, he will do something amazing for the Lord. So, you know, I just thought I'd bring it up there, you know, to encourage you with. So.
Amen. I believe it. All right. Anyone else? Go ahead, Pat.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question. In your mind, not that I'm trying to probe or anything, but in your mind, what has to change with us as a group to be those people? You mentioned just pray that God will raise someone up. I'm suspecting that somebody is out there, not here.
Well, maybe it is one of us. I, you know, I really don't know. I can't say for sure, but I say maybe somebody in Nepal who has been around all that, who knows what's going on there, You know, that God would work on them. What, you know, what's he doing with us? You know, he's causing us to die to self. You know, that's what he's doing to me personally, you know, this past year, you know, since I've taken the truth seriously, since I've done these things, I realize, and just lately I'm listening to the series, you know, the old series of, you know, are the odds stacked against you, you know, good. I mean, that's a good thing. Just, you know, just maybe God needs to work on that. You know, maybe it is us. Like I said, I have no idea. God knows what's going to, if it's somebody in this group, somebody at local UBM, greater UBM, I don't know. Or, you know, I just felt led to say,
I think Pat's question
was,
why not this group?
I don't know. Yeah, why not?
For Nepal. And I agree that we do have power to do whatever it is that, if you're led, Pat, go ahead, brother. We'll be with you.
No, I guess my thought is, we're here, we're sitting here, we are a group.
Yeah.
And am I waiting? I don't know. I'm just thinking, so what in me, what in us has to change, or what's the difference? What has to change? Is it something I need to do? Is it something that God needs to do? What has to change for me to be that person that we're talking about? Because I'm no different than anybody else in this group, or for that matter, anybody that's seeking the Lord, I'm no different than them. We're all the same in that aspect. What has to happen? What's different? What needs to change in order for us to be those people that touch the world, that overcome that go into those countries
You know what happens, Pat, when one prays, or when one prays, he sends 1,000 to flight. When two prays, he sends 10,000 to flight. So it's better to pray with like-minded believers that have faith for these types of things that you're talking about here than it is for one man or one woman to pray for. When you have a group that's in one accord with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have nothing but the power of heaven itself behind you. But you have to have faith to believe that what you pray is going to happen.
Well, there's
we can say anything. You know, a lot of people do. They pray anything, but do they have faith to back up that prayer? Do they have faith to believe that God is actually going to do what you ask him to do or what you command to be done? There is a trust factor in all of our prayers, and that we pray and we trust that God's going to answer that prayer. And if we got that, we can look, I don't ever try to put God in a box, because I can tell you he can do whatever he wants to do, and he uses us as his hands to do the work down here. So yeah, I believe that if you have the faith to believe that we can pull down principalities, strongholds and powers up in the air, yeah, absolutely we can. That's it in a nutshell, brother. It takes faith.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Maybe I should relate the little snippet of a dream I had last night, just part of it. I was, go ahead.
No, I said you go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was walking in this kind of a interesting tunnel. I don't need to describe the whole thing, but I was walking along and my brother was way behind me, actually my Caucasian brother. Blood brother. And then my in between us there was a girl, and we were all walking for quite a distance, and so eventually I stopped, and then this girl caught up, and I was supposed I think she expected that I was supposed to know her, but I didn't. And so I said I don't remember you, and I spoke in their language. And so anyway, she was surprised that I didn't know who she was. So I asked her, well, because of the features on her face, I said, was your mother Tibetan? And she said, I don't know who my mother was. And I thought, well, am I going to ask about her father then? And then I woke up. So anyway, it was very interesting. That's what prompted me to start praying, because my brother has, you know, Mongoloid features like a lot of the Tibetans have. So that's what prompted me to just start praying for that area. You know, there are lots of orphans. There's been so much bloodshed. I mean, just when the Chinese attacked Tibet, they were just ruthless, and thousands of Tibetans were fleeing over the border into Nepal. They had to go over the Himalayas, and it's a really sad story, but a lot of them made it over the mountains, but they ended up just dying in the rice paddy fields in Nepal, just all over the place, because it was just too hard. So anyway, that was my dream. That's why I started just praying about, you know, it's not specific. I don't know if she was Tibetan. I don't know. It was just a dream, you know.
Amen. Yeah, Pat, I believe that we can. I do.
Let me just say, you know, if you study what's going on in China and some other places, of course, they're going through tremendous persecution right now, again, in China. But China has people in there that are walking with the Lord to the point where it's they're planning to send out missionaries to the Middle East. You know, it's just, or that I think they already have. But those guys are walking with the Lord big time. I'm not saying we're not. We all have our different, you know, it's just that there are people in these countries already who have been, they're spirit-filled people in Tibet right now. So it's just, they have to be really careful. China knows some of them and knows, you know, who they are. They just have in the past anyway, they've had a policy of, if you'll just use other words and don't say God or Jesus or anything directly, they kind of turned a blind eye to it. It's kind of an interesting cat and mouse situation there. Except the mice have tremendous authority. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right. Well, I know a little bit about the Chinese church and what they pray about. They pray about the situation they're in. Around them there, you know. And I believe that if the Lord leads you to do that, go ahead and pray for him. I know of a long time dead now preacher that used to pray for the leaders of the countries that he knew personally. And he'd pray for them every morning. He'd pray for them. Pray for the leaders up there. Pray for wisdom in there leading the country and pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and most of the heads of the countries that he knew were Christian. They had some Christian background. And I believe you can pray for whatever God gives you the faith to pray for. That's just it in a nutshell. Okay, anybody else? I hope that answers some of your questions. Missy, did you have something? I saw you raise your hand a while ago.
Did I? If I did, it was by accident.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's like, I just want to say something about what you said there, you know. Pray for the things that God's given you faith for. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, sometimes I think, and my personal experience and sometimes what I've seen with others too, and it's not meant as a criticism, it's just kind of a learning thing, I guess. Sometimes we want to it's almost like we muster up faith. We convince ourselves that we got and we know what God wants. And then when it doesn't come to pass, we're disappointed. And what we really had really wasn't faith. You know, am I making sense?
Well,
does that make sense but to you?
Here's the way I would say what you're saying is that if you have faith to believe, you're going to endure in your faith to see it happen, right? You're going to, that's what the word says. You're going to see, you're going to endure in your faith to see it manifested. And if you lose faith, you've lost faith. If it doesn't happen overnight and you pray and it doesn't happen and you get discouraged because it didn't happen overnight, you've lost faith.
Right.
But if you endure in your faith, I know people that's been praying for stuff for years. They're still enduring in their faith. They haven't seen it happen yet, but they're still enduring in their faith. I remember a lady that came into our fellowship that she'd been praying for her husband all her married life, ever since she was a Christian. And he didn't get saved until the 2 minutes before he died. And she had been praying for him her whole Christian life. But he got saved right then. Over the phone, he got saved. Praise God. And then, that's what I'm saying. You can't, if you're going to pray for something, just keep on believing. Keep on believing, you know. Some of us have been praying for our spouses for years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely certain things that are God's promises, you know, and that you can definitely believe for. I mean, it's okay, you're going to believe God's word or you're not. It's cut and dry. But then there's other things. I don't know. I'm just sometimes we want to pray for somebody a certain way. And we don't know what God's doing. And sometimes we want to definitely pray a certain way. I don't know how.
What's the best way to pray? Somebody tell me what the best way to pray is.
Pray God's word and believe his word, you know.
In the spirit, right?
Right. In the spirit. Yes.
In the spirit.
I don't know if I'm getting across what I'm trying to say. Sometimes I think.
Yeah.
Not a matter of. Sometimes I don't feel like it's a matter of enduring in your faith. Sometimes I think we pray for something that really isn't God's will, and we try and say that we have faith, and it's our determination that it's going to come to pass, and it really wasn't God's will. Am I making sense?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what you're praying for. If you're praying for an oil well show up in your front yard, you know, that might be a little bit much. I don't know. But if you're praying for anything that you're believing for, yeah, I believe it's going to happen. Go ahead, Pat.
I think when we pray, it's important to know what God's will is in the situation.
Come on, yeah, come on. Come on, you're getting on it now. More specific.
Well, there's an example. I know that a lot of – I'll give a generality. There was a time – let's just say, remember back in the – when we went into the Iraq War and President Bush's, I guess – stated principle was regime change, and we're going to bring democracy to Iraq. And then what we ended up was getting into a war, which we've still been in for the last, 17 years, 18 years or whatever. But I know that I come to a realization there after a while that And this may sound a little harsh, I guess, but that section or area of the country was under a ruler that God created and raised up for those people. And that's why I say it sounds harsh. But we came in and removed that for a good reason. We were changing the regime and bringing in freedom and bringing in democracy. What they call was democracy and everything. And I think it's time will tell whether or not that was a proper thing to do as far as, and I guess I have to go back to, we were trying to create over there, give them something that America had, or even we had back in the beginning. And that was a freedom and personal freedom and a governmental system to provide protection for our right to of that free exercise of and establishment of our rights. And our forefathers saw that as so significant that we shed blood and died and fought wars, a war to win that. But we went over and in a short year or two tried to give that to that area of the country. And I'm not sure if there was the appreciation or inner desire and for that, and that inner desire and that inner compulsion to be free and to rule ourselves and come together as a nation and rule ourselves. I don't think that was in them. And so the first time they got in a skirmish over there or whatever, they up and tucked and run for the hills, because they weren't prepared. It didn't come from them. It came from us on the outside trying to give it to them. We was part of a missionary organization for a while, and we had a ministry. Basically, it was just to the colleges, UPenn, I think, is where we were at for a while. We were teaching English as a second language, and then getting to know these. Most of the people that we dealt with were Chinese, and of course, Chinese were living under that communist regime, and it kind of transitioned to adapt a few American or free enterprise or whatever capitalistic type of philosophies or whatever. But I remember having conversations with them, and they couldn't understand why we in America were so focused so much on personal freedom. It was not that big of a deal to them, because they never had it. They never lived in it. They never lived under the, I can't say that. It was just a different mindset. So in one sense, I tell all that to say, were we in God's will going over there and removing that tyrant or that dictator in Iraq and then trying to impose democracy over there? I don't know. I don't know. Time will tell. We can ask the Lord. But I think it is, there's certain situations in the world where it's important to know if it's God's will. Let's just say that we went into Nepal and we start praying for Nepal, because it's important to know if God is trying to make a transition there. Just like, what is he doing in our country? Well, I think God is trying to make a transition of some sort. And I think that's why it's so important and significant to listen to what God's given David through these last few years, specifically in direction and praying and the attacks of the faction and various things like that. So I guess to make a final statement would be, I think it's significant to know what God's will is in that particular prayer, or in our direction of praying. So I don't know if that answers it or creates more questions or what.
Well, that's one of the key steps, is to get your prayers answered, is to know what you're praying for, and it's God's will. Like Missy was talking about, because if you're not praying according to God's will, you know your prayers aren't going to get answered. But you do need to go in, and I've learned this from other, one of them in particular was Kenneth Hagin. He's got a prayer manual book, and that's a good book. It's on faith. And one of the things he says is, when you go to praying about something, you're looking for a healing, say, you go into the Word of God and make sure through the Word of God, mark those scriptures, meditate on those scriptures that pertain to healing by God. And I'm just using that for an example. And he said, meditate them, make sure you have it in your heart, is what he tells you, and I believe it, that you have it in your heart, and you know without a doubt that that's God's will for you. That's God's will to be done. Now, you got Mark 11:24, you know, that whatever you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. You got that one also. So you need to understand, like Pat was talking about, that it is, Missy was talking about, that it was God's will, and that you understand that it's in the Word of God that you can pray for that. George, did you have something you wanted to say a while ago?
Yes, sir. I think so. I think there's lots of signs that the enemy overplays his hand, especially in some of these pagan nations. And we can study, I mean, like when you're immersed in a culture over there and you study their language and where the symbols came for their language, a lot of the pictographs for the Chinese language, they say, tells the story of the Garden of Eden and the whole fall of man, and a lot of, like, every word just keeps building on these symbols. It's almost like they can't get away from that original story, even though they've chased after other gods and everything else. I think all of these nations, we can find them in the Bible and where they fell away and what they, when you talked about two chasing 10,000, I looked up Deuteronomy 32, and it just tells how harsh God is with a people that walk away from him and chase after idols, and how he's so jealous, and it riles him up, and he it just talks about the anger that it produces when they chase after these other gods, these newcomer gods that weren't before, but now they're chasing after them. And this, I think the whole principalities and strongholds in those areas are because so many generations have sold out to these gods and brought curses on themselves and their children. And, you know, obviously, you know, just like Jesus said, I'm anointed to set the captives free. You know, we have the good news to take into these areas, but we do kind of have to battle and understand what we're going into, and what to pray against and what to ask God to forgive them from and their generations before them. And I was reading, like I said, in Deuteronomy 32, it talks about verse 29. It says, well, 28 says, for they are a nation void of counsel. There is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Then it says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and Jehovah had delivered them up? We know that God loves who he wants to love and hates who he hates based on outcomes that he knows from the beginning. And a remnant of all of these people groups is going to, some of them are going to receive the word of God and be our brothers and sisters. And some of them are going to perish by, you know, by the millions, probably, just like the good old USA ain't so good. You talk about taking wars to straighten out the world. You know, obviously a beast can travel around and remove leaders and put leaders in place. And we might see some of these good guys rounded up that people thought were good guys. They might get rounded up pretty soon. And, you know, we'll find out that there's only one nation that we can ever really be a part of. And we can't take any pride in anything but, you know, being on that mountain that can't be touched. Like you were saying, praying the word, and, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we see there in verse 29 that it's almost like God is crying out saying, oh, that they were wise. You know, how can somebody turn them, you know? And then the Bible tells us, how can they hear unless somebody preaches? So, yeah, somebody's going to get in. The word's going to get to those people. And meanwhile, we can lay down the groundwork and charge that old battery up for the missionaries and pray and ask God, you know, to find mercy for them, just like he's found mercy for us and found mercy for a remnant of Israel that would believe, and those that he preached to down in hell and brought them out with him. You know, there has been people who have held on to God. And I guess that's just it. You talk about doing work in the spirit. It's kind of a birthing process. If we ask God to give us a burden for anybody, then we're going to lose sleep, and we're going to look for words for them and stand in the gap for them and really take on a burden until we, you know, it's pray. What does it say? Push. Pray until something happens. It's, you know, you hear a lot about people who were great intercessors who felt peace when they got what they were asking for in the spirit. They prayed until they felt like God answered them, and then they rested. And you know, we hear it and we know to release our faith and then rest on what we've prayed for and believe that we have received what we've released to God. I'm probably taking up a lot of words here, so I want to give it back to y'all, but I figured I'd throw that in there. I love y'all.
Amen, George. That was good. Absolutely. I believe what you said there. Yeah, Sue.
I was curious to look on YouTube about Nepal. And there are a lot of Christians in Nepal, according to YouTube. I know even, I'll give you, now everybody is familiar with CBN, right? CBN? Christian Broadcasting Network. It says this country has the fastest growing Christian population in the world. Now that was put out 2 years ago. There's still stuff that's going on. 2 months ago, a year ago, there's stuff 8 months ago. There was some in five years ago, there was stuff. 3 years ago, 11 months, I mean, 3 months ago. There are, and there's a couple of people that they mention as pastors over there and stuff. And You know, the Bible's I'm not saying that I, sometimes I don't have, feel like I have a burden on these countries, but sometimes I just pray for all the Christians in all the countries, generally, just generally praying, and that the Lord would work on their hearts, that he would be able to, you know, and that's his will. He wants the gospel to go forth, right? In every country. So sometimes I just pray for all my brothers and sisters that are in each country, you know, not that I mention each country, but the Lord knows, and that they would be encouraged. And I mean, I pray the word over generally for all the people, all our brothers and sisters. I mean, it's when the Lord, later on, maybe I'll have some specific people that I pray for, but that all of us would just grow in the Lord, you know, and do what the Lord wants us to do.
This is Malcolm again. So some of the denominations that are growing there, first of all, both Nepal and India and Pakistan and Bangladesh, there's a tremendous amount of corruption in the governments. It's kind of a general, very pervasive thing. I think maybe the U.S. has surpassed that now, but sorry, U.S. But unfortunately, that's filtered into a lot of the denominations growing in Nepal, and it's become kind of a power struggle. Some of them, when they're speaking, they'll say, join my denomination, we're better, we have better truth than the other guys, or, you know, you're supposed to be over here. And a lot of the pastors are, there's a term in Nepal called Tulamanche, which means kind of like a big shot, a self-made big shot. It's kind of a sarcastic term, kind of derogatory. But unfortunately, a lot of the pastors, I have to say, almost every pastor I met was a Tulamanche. And they, a big shot, and they would, they kind of lord it over their, whatever congregation they have. And then, and then on top of that, the people that are kind of in charge over a lot of the pastors are, there's so much corruption. They're trying to kill each other. I mean, it's just like, come on, what about the people? What about just the people out there that want to know the truth, that want to follow Jesus? What about them? Is everything about you guys making your, building your kingdom? And it's, talk about false shepherds. I find it incredibly disgusting, the stuff that's going on there. And I'm looking for a true revival.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I got some stuff here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. On how God sometimes has a person there already set up. And it's the fifth verse, even when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no relief. That could have been a problem there. But we were afflicted on every side, fightings without, fears within. But the God who comforteth the lowly, comfort us with the presence of Titus, and not with his presence only, but also with the comfort wherewith he was comforted in you. And of course, it's they go on to of the people there telling us of your longing and for the Christian faith. You know, there are people there everywhere, and God set up this guy Titus as a Macedonian citizen, I would assume, to come and help distressed in the flesh Christians, because they didn't know what to do and how to approach this. So there's always something that God has on hand and ready to supply your need for on these things. And as for denominations, I think you can all count yourself as coming from one of those. So just as you came out of one, they too have that potential too, don't they?
Amen.
As a stepping stone or whatever. They got to come out of that playpen, as I was told by someone. Anyway, I'm just saying who that someone is. You may think it's someone, but I know who exactly it was. And that's just it, you know. He's got it all planned out. We have to remember that, you know, it says there that he will not leave you orphan. So if we're adopted, and we all are adopted into this new family of Christ, we have to find out what Father wants, because we're just adopted. And we got adopted out of denominationalism, whereas the Jews got adopted out of Judaism, and some of those people got adopted out of some really weird religions back then. You know, they used to have like several gods in Greece and in Rome, and it happened there. So God can do what he's supposed to do. And he's waiting for our petitions. And the best way we can word them, and we know how we can word them the best way too. So we have all these promises and examples. You know, they didn't have this New Testament. We do. And they would refer to the Old Testament an awful lot. And we have a greater word here. It's been around for 2,000 years. And, you know, some people who call themselves Christian, you know, they may not even know how to quote a single verse. And they got all these weird things they do. But, you know, that's something they think is right, too, at that time, as our past was. And even if you have a past of full gospel parents, and we're blessed with that, so that you can go on. Not everyone did have that. And, you know, you have to realize the awesomeness of God, almightiness, as to when he speaks something, it cannot change. When you're approaching this being of the Almighty God, he's already spoken all of this to you. He cannot go back on that word. We are in such great need of having him close to us that, you know, you're coming before someone, and it seems like I do come towards him as an adopted person, sometime asking him, like, Father, you've adopted me, and I really don't know how to speak with you, and I have to come to you in awe and in reverence, because you're almighty, and I want to honor you because of this. And I'm really enthused and pleased and very happy that you are almighty to come before you, and that you've allowed me to come even before you to be called and partake of this new life. So this word he speaks, you know, it creates, it happens. Nothing happens around us that's not supposed to happen, that didn't go by his throne for him to say, I'm going to allow that because of this and this, or I'm going to allow that because now's the time for these people to be delivered, be healed. Because I have to, you know, he might say, I have to fix this before this happens. I don't know how he does it all. But he's got it all set in order decently. That's the last verse of 2 Corinthians 14. And it's part of the spiritual gifts, decently and in order. Amen.
Well, amen. Amen. We're about out of time here. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, I just wanted to say, Pat, I didn't want there to be a misunderstanding earlier there. Sorry if it seemed like there was. But, I wanted to say, and I mean, you know, it sounds like Michael kind of summed up your or answered your question. But for you said, what should we do? I don't know. I can't really answer that for everybody. For me, at least, right now I'm here, you know, I believe I'm directly right where God wants me to be, you know, as you said, Andrew, we all got to come out of the playpen, and that's what I've been doing. I mean, I kind of came out first and I was like afraid and I said, no, I'm going back behind the bars, you know, for about 2 years, like I said before, you know, it's a little too scary outside of the playpen. And now I said, no, it's time to get out and learn to walk. And that's what I'm doing. I mean, maybe that's where everyone else is. You know, I mean, some of you have been out of the playpen for many more years than I have. You know, you're kind of slowly walking and you're falling and you're walking. And, you know, I think, I mean, like you said, Pat, you know, we're, you know, right now, I mean, just learning what David said and like, you know, what God has given him in the last 2 years. But for me, just, you know, what God has been doing with him for the past so many years. You know, I think that's what I'm learning. Is how to walk with God, how to hear from God. And then I believe, you know, once we really begin to on ourselves, or I mean, for ourselves, walk for God, walk with God and hear from him on a daily basis, like, you know, David or, you know, anybody else does, then I believe we can begin to deal with those other things. Because, I mean, personally, myself, I don't feel led to, you know, I mean, really, I mean, you know, just like Sue, you know, reach out for those and, you know, Nepal, or just pray for our brothers and sisters worldwide. But I feel more for here in, you know, America, for our current situation. I feel more led to seek God for our nation, you know, as Americans. So I don't know. I think, you know, each of us has to kind of answer that question for ourselves. What do we do to get ready for it? You know, so I don't know. Hopefully that makes sense or helps.
Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah,
I'd like to pray about the situation. And if I could pray for you, Malcolm, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Lord, I just, you hear what's going on, Lord. You hear the situation here with what's going on with Nepal, or you know what's going on with Nepal. You know what's going on with Tibet. You know Malcolm's heart, Lord. I pray that you would help him, Father, to know what you want him to do, where you want him to go, or even just to pray. You want him to pray in regards to Nepal. Lord, just give him your guidance and your wisdom and your understanding on what he needs to do, what you want him to do. And Lord, if there is anybody, whether it's him or anybody else, if there's anybody else that you want that burden for Nepal and any other countries, any of the other countries where your people are, that you would raise up ones to minister the gospel, the true gospel, not the half-truth gospel, but the whole truth, true gospel, that you would reach out and you would touch the ones that you want to minister, to go forth and minister in those countries, in Nepal and in China and any other countries, Lord, that your kingdom again come over there and your will be done over there and all these other countries. And I just lift up all the brothers and sisters that are already there, that maybe you can even reach any of those to rise up and really truly see the word for what it is and how to bring it forth. Lord, I just pray for your will to be done in this whole situation in Jesus' name. And I bind up and I break the power of all those evil spirits that would try to hinder any of your word from going forth in any country in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us that authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means shall harm any of us, because you called us to pray and you called us to reach out to touch people. You called us to be laborers, to go forth. You called us, Father, to be those ones to stand forth and be that army. So I pray for your people all over the world, even, that the army would rise, your army would rise up, Lord, in every country, in every nation, so that your kingdom can come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Well,
I just want to mention real quick, Titus was an apostle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you, Lord, that we learned something tonight, hopefully. And Father, we just ask and pray that you be with us for the next few days until we come together again Thursday night, God willing. And Lord, we just ask that you give us a good night's sleep and keep us in the Word, Lord, and keep us praying and talking to you, Father. Let our conversations be more with you, Lord. Let the time, like Charles Finney, I used to remember reading about him. He would pray for 4 hours every morning. And, Lord, I would ask that you would place it in all of our hearts to get closer to you, to know you, and to know the still small voice that you talk to us in, and to know what you want us to do, and to be led by your Holy Spirit. We all long to be led every step by you, Lord, and to set a watch before our lips, to speak only. That's what the Word says. And Lord, we thank you for getting us all to that place that where we're spiritually discerning all the time. And the only way, Lord, that we can do that is by getting in the Word and reading and studying the Word, and asking you, Lord, what does this mean? Lord, what does that mean? Lord, I can do this. I'm going to pray that for myself. And Lord, I just thank you for doing that for all of us. And be with us. Give us fine days here the next few days. We've seen a lot of destruction over in North Carolina with the hurricane, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for getting all your people saving all of your people out of all of that mess, Lord, and understand that the waters are still rising. And I ask for your protection upon all your people over there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a heart for the Word of God. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, folks.